Every now and then, I'm watching a movie that pulls me in so deeply, I totally forget that the people on screen are actors. Well, you know, every film crew has a person whose job it is to pick those actors, the ones who bring to life and make us believe what we're watching. You see, behind every great character on screen is a casting director. A casting director's trained eye finds just the right face, the right voice, the right soul of a character within an actor.
When you audition, you hear the dialogue read by any number of actors. But someone will come in and say those words. And it's like Ray Charles singing America the Beautiful. You will hear it for the first time in a new way. And that's what I would look for. I would look for that Ray Charles moment.
That was former casting director Ruben Cannon, who appears in the latest season of the Academy Museum podcast. It's called Close Up on Casting. It looks at the art and history of casting in Hollywood. It's hosted by the director and president of the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures, Jacqueline Stewart. She joins us now, along with Ruben Cannon. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you.
So, Jacqueline, I want to start with you. This particular season traces, you know, the history behind casting in Hollywood, which began with the studio system in the 1920s, before the actual job of a casting director even existed. Can you talk about how casting worked in those earlier days?
Sure. I mean, we have to think about the way that the classic Hollywood studio system really worked as a factory operation. You know, directors were assigned to particular projects, as was every other crew member, and that was true for actors as well. And for the most part, they were casting actors to play the same kinds of types that were dictated by the way that they looked. We look at the casting of Rebecca, the 1940 Hitchcock film.
I try my best every day, but very difficult with people looking me up and down as if I were a prize cow.
And there are a series of memos that Alfred Hitchcock was writing to the producer, David O. Selznick, that give you a sense of how crass sometimes and superficial these evaluations could be. So, for example, Alicia Rhett is described as being homely and a bit too old. Betty Campbell is described as being too ordinary, too chocolate box.
And wasn't someone compared to porcelain or china?
Yes, yes. Miriam Patty is described as too much Dresden china.
Dang!
The shorthand ways of characterizing these artists clearly is not thinking about, oh, here's how we might cultivate this person. Here's how we might, you know, reveal different layers of what they can do, which fortunately is what happened later on as pioneering casting directors really began to work in a more nuanced way.
Exactly. Let's talk about that. The whole studio system started to get dismantled in 1948, and casting directors started to come about. And I want to go to you, Ruben Cannon, because you are yourself a casting director pioneer. You were the first African-American casting director in Hollywood. You casted for films like The Color Purple. You were the head of television casting for Warner Brothers for some time. And I just love the story of how you got into this business. You literally started in the mailroom at Universal Studios, right? I mean, that almost reads like a screenplay already.
Well, actually, it's pretty common because they give these fancy names to these departments. Universal referred to the mailroom as the executive training program. And that's, you know, it's a, and you were required to wear a shirt and a tie and a suit, and you delivered mail throughout the lot. So the mailroom, it was an opportunity to learn from the ground up and how a studio functions.
Well, you eventually worked your way up in the studio to become a casting director. And I'm curious, Ruben, what do you think it is about you personally and the way that you relate to people that made casting such a natural fit for you?
Well, the person that hired me to work in casting was a gentleman named Ralph Winters. Ralph Winters was the head of casting for Universal Television. And Ralph Winters gave me the mantra that I've used, which is that, yeah, Ruben, always hire actors that are superior to the role they have to play.
Huh. What did he mean by that?
Well, meaning that if you're casting an actor to play cop number one, he should be capable of doing the lead. Because everyone starts somewhere. Years ago, I hired John Travolta for a role in a TV show, I was cast called Emergency. He had two lines. An actor who had taken a fall and sprained his ankle.
Man, I never thought anybody'd find me here. Is there anything wrong with you beside that leg there?
Yeah, my shoulder.
Let's see.
You know, once again, he was far superior to what the role required.
And this point that Ruben is making is so illuminating. It was for me because I was really struck by how often you and other casting directors talked about going to bat for particular actors and really insisting, no, you've got to look at this person.
Well, what's exciting about casting is that you really don't know it till you see it. And I've told the story many times about Bruce Willis in Moonlighting, that, you know, when casting that TV series.
What are you doing now?
Looking up the word nefarious.
I had heard that role read so many times, but then all of a sudden Bruce comes in and gives it a whole new spin because he was not the network's definition of a leading man. In fact, I was fired because I kept bringing him back to the studio as the lead. And they say, Ruben, obviously you don't know what a leading man is.
But good for you for sticking to what you believed. And look, he carried Moonlighting. I mean, with Cybill Shepherd.
Of course, exactly.
Well, given all the nuance that you have to consider when you are picking an actor to fill a role, how important is it that casting directors reflect a diverse array of lived experiences and identities?
It's the only way you're going to ever achieve any degree of reflection of society if you don't have people in the room that does reflect society. Mm-hmm. I know personally for me, I've cast enough shows that if it were not for my presence as a black man, the role would not have been cast to black actors, women, but particularly when it comes to black actors. You know, my presence there, so I could bring up a name, and either out of fear or my persuasiveness, you know, the producers and directors would say yes. Now, once again, I'm offering them actors that are superior to the role. This is not tokenism. This is not doing anyone a favor. This is going to be an enhancement to the project.
Yeah.
One of the things, listening to all these stories for the podcast, that I've been recognizing is just how we can map the relationship between the casting profession and process onto all kinds of other situations where people are chosen for roles in corporate America, in academia, you know, across different industries. And if we were to really look at training and find ways to get around our inherent biases, to give a wider range of people opportunities to show what they are capable of doing, those are really valuable lessons that I think would open up a more inclusive environment across the board.
Ruben Cannon, he's Hollywood's first black casting director and now a film producer. And Jacqueline Stewart is director and president of the Academy Museum of Motion Pictures and host of their podcast, including this season, Close Up on Casting. Thank you to both of you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Elsa.